And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
New Monday, I'm high, new Monday. Got to work, plan to sleep.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. Tonight is the big Wisconsin primary. We don't know who's going to win it, but we're all watching it. Donald Trump will be on this show at the half hour of this hour and of the half hour of the next hour. If you miss one, you could catch the other. If you want to listen to both, you'll catch both. But here is a mind-altering experience about to appear on the Savage Nation. And now you know why Scalia died. Under such suspicious circumstances, with a pillow over his head, a story that CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, none of the networks will cover. If a bum is found in the street, it's headline news. But a Supreme Court justice is found dead at a weird ranch under suspicious circumstances, and there's no coverage. Well, here's why. This came out today. A unanimous Supreme Court just ruled that illegal immigrants and other non-citizens can be counted in redistricting counts. Did you hear what I just said? Now you know why Scalia died with a pillow over his head. A unanimous Supreme Court just ruled that illegal immigrants and other non-citizens can be counted when states draw their legislative districts, which shot down a challenge by Texas residents who said their own voting power was being diluted by illegal aliens and non-citizens. And take a guess who wrote the majority opinion. None other than the most rotten, evil person in the history of the Supreme Court. A woman who was the chief counsel for the anti-American, anti-Christian ACLU, who should never have been permitted on the Supreme Court, who has done more damage to the Supreme Court than any single individual. None other than Ruth Bad Girl Ginsburg. Wrote the opinion. She said, of course, she framed it in the Constitution. That's how the left operates. When they want to destroy the Constitution, they frame their anti-constitutional activities within the Constitution. You see, Texas residents had challenged the way districts were drawn in their state. And they said that because they ended up in districts with more eligible voters, their vote counted less than someone in another district. Do you know what that means? Do you follow what I said, or should I go on to something more interesting? The Supreme Court just ruled that illegal immigrants and other non-citizens can be counted when states draw up their legislative districts, 4-4. Well, it wasn't 4-4 because there was no Scalia. It was unanimous. Why would it be unanimous? How could this be unanimous? A unanimous Supreme Court? You mean because Scalia was no longer there to present his arguments. He's now 6 feet under. His remains were washed away into the Rio Grande soon after his weird demise. But you don't want to hear about that. So let's talk about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is in Wisconsin right now. Huge crowds. All of the media geniuses are saying he had a very bad week. Very bad week, very bad week, bad week, bad week, bad week. Wasn't it a bad week? Yeah, bad week. It was a bad week. Trump had a bad week. He's weak now. Trump is weak because he had a bad week. I don't know that he had a bad week. I think that they had a very bad week, showing how biased they are. And so he couldn't come on the show during the live performance, but he came on the show before the live performance, and we had 15 points. Which I'm not going to preempt by telling you what they were, but I'll give you a hint. You'll have to hear it at the bottom of the hour. Take a guess what he had to say about his good friend Cruz. Take a guess what Donald Trump has to say on this show about Rince Prius. Rince Prius is the man who runs the RNC. We call him Rince Prius. He has the brains of Rinso soap detergent and the speed of a Prius. How they picked this jerk is anyone's guess, but we call him Rince Prius. Donald Trump met with Rince Prius. You'll find out what they said. He'll talk about the media comments on Japanese nukes and NATO. He'll talk about Rupert Murdoch. He'll talk about machine gun Megyn Kelly. He'll talk about the new Bob Dole advisor, which set off shock waves in me because I challenged him on it. I said, Mr. Trump, I saw over the weekend that you hired Bob Dole's former campaign advisor. Well, listen to what he has to say about that. He had some shocking news about the wall with Mexico and about the drug and job problem in Wisconsin. I asked him about Hillary and why they don't attack her. Well, take a guess what he said to that one. Take a guess what he said about why Cruz won't attack China and put tariffs on goods from China. Oh, you won't believe that one. And all of this will be heard on the Savage Nation at the bottom of the hour and the next hour. The phone number here is 855-407-282. I don't know what you can call about, but it is a talk show. If you feel like calling, go ahead and make my day. Cruz moves to steal Trump delegates from Arizona. Supreme Court says illegals can be counted in redistricting. Oh, there's so much news out there. Oh, your friends in Iran? They're saying Obama lied when he said they couldn't build missiles. Iran itself is confirming everything we told you about the lying, stealing president of the new banana republic, the United States of America. We have a banana republic president who lies the same way they did in banana republics, only they don't do it there anymore. They even outgrew presidents like this in Uruguay. They would not let him last a day. They'd take him out and they would impeach him the next day for lying about a thing like this. Iran has just outed the fact that Obama and Kerry should have been impeached when they lied to the American people and the world saying Iran had no right to build missiles. Because today Iran said Obama lied. They have every right to build a missile program that can reach Israel and Europe. Did you hear any of this? Nah. No, all you heard was that Trump's campaign advisor touched a girl on the arm. Or that Trump said this or that about abortion to the psycho who urinated on his own leg when Obama was elected or erected. When Obama was erected by the liberal establishment, the straw-haired liar for the Democrat National Committee on MSNBC said that he felt a chill going down his leg. Well, I don't have to comment in any vulgar manner about that. We know what that means. Those are some of the starting points on the Savage Nation. There's other stuff. I'll also talk about male sexuality as represented by the media and reality of male sexuality, because it's a side note, but it was troublesome. Last night I was watching a show on HBO called Vinyl, which I like. Then I was watching a show called Billions, which I have liked. I had to turn off Billions. It was so boring. The psychoanalysis got to me. I went to sleep. But I noticed something. In both series written by the sickest people in the history of the world, that is those who write for television and Hollywood, amongst the sickest minds God has permitted to walk the earth, they portray male sexuality in a way that's totally unreal. In both HBO's Vinyl and HBO's and Showtime's, there's one and the same. It's musical chairs. They move back and forth between those cable networks. They get fired from one for sexual harassment. They go to work for the other. Then they get fired from Showtime for sexual harassment. They go to work for Netflix. And they get fired from Netflix. They go to work for Hulu. They get fired from Hulu. They go to work for ISIS. Hulu was an acronym, by the way, like ISIS. But I can't tell you what it stands for because it's a family show. But in both of these shows, Vinyl and the other one, I saw in both scenes, there was a scene where I'll try to do this in a delicate manner later on the Savage Nation. I'm not ready for it. It's too early. It's too early. I had my yogurt, my berries, my cornflakes. I'm going to have a cup of tea. And we'll talk about Donald Trump, who'll be with us for the first half of his interview in about 15 minutes. The second half in the next hour. And we also talked about tariffs, by the way. You cannot believe what Donald Trump says as to why Cruz opposes tariffs and why his policies, that is, Cruz's policies, are all twisted and wrong on this tariff business. It sounds like he's working for China. When you listen to Cruz on why we can't put tariffs on China's goods, it sounds like Cruz is a lobbyist for China before he left office. He's become like Bob Dole and Madeleine Albright and all of the others who left government and went to work for China. Only in this case, Cruz is working for China before he even left office. Well, he didn't say that. I just did. This is the Savage Nation, 855-407-282. Tom on WJR, go ahead, please. You're the first up this Monday on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about tariffs. And it seems to me that it works well for people in the service industry because they can get cheap goods and their paychecks go further. But if you're in the manufacturing industry and there are no tariffs, you know, it doesn't matter how cheap things are because if you don't have a job, you don't have any, you can't buy anything anyway.
Correct. And we always had, America always had tariffs on foreign goods until lobbyists took over the government. It changed around 1970 when Japan's lobbyists, I should say U.S. lobbyists working for Japanese, undermined the electronics industry and destroyed our television manufacturing, then undermined our auto industry and almost put all of our big three out of business, permitting Toyota and the other company to invade America without opposition. It's because tariffs were sold as something evil. But it if we had had tariffs, we would still have major manufacturing left in America. If this is not stopped, eventually we'll have to outsource the U.S. military to China, and we'll have Chinese men wearing U.S. military uniforms, and soon it will make no difference because, as Obama said, there's little difference between communism and capitalism, and he should know best because that's why he was put in office. But, yes, we need tariffs, and we need them right away. 855-400-7282. Is the phone number. We'll have this and other topics to talk about. We'll have Hillary on the email scandal, something that Machine Gun Kelly will not talk about. All this and more on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It's the Savage Nation. We're waiting for Donald Trump's interview, which will occur at the bottom of the hour. I guess one of the topics that you will hear Mr. Trump discuss with me is tariffs, which I have called for in two of my last best-selling books, which he insists will be good for saving jobs in the United States of America. Many of you have been crucified. You've been crucified on the cross of lies by Teddy. Teddy Cruz has crucified the idea of tariffs. So let's take one of those calls from Bill on KVOR. Bill, you've been crucified, right? You believe tariffs caused what?
Yeah, the thing I wanted to call about is ask Donald about hardening our electrical grid. Nobody wants to talk about it, but I've heard that it can be done relatively cheap, you know, a couple billion, but I mean, nobody wants...
No, you're right. That's a very good point. I didn't think of it. And the next time he comes on the show, that's a fabulous idea. I'll bet you he doesn't have an answer because no one's talking about the electrical grid, which can be fried pretty easily, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and there's ways that they can harden the grid. I've heard about it from other people.
Oh, didn't you call about tariffs?
No, huh?
I'm sorry about that. Okay. Well, for those of you who've been Ted crucified, where everything he says is the gospel, you know, with Trump, no one believes everything he says, but they know that he at least is a, let's say, a moderate nationalist. With Cruz, we don't know what he is. His wife works for an international investment bank. She has deep ties with the very Wall Street that Hillary claims she has no ties with. So don't tell me there's no influence from the wife, Heidi, on Cruz's policies. And one of the policies that Cruz keeps attacking Trump on is the issue of tariffs. Now, many of you have been crucified. Your brain has been crucified. And you've been told that it caused the Great Depression, that the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act caused the Great Depression. What is the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act? Did the Smoot-Hawley Tariff cause the Great Depression? President Hoover signed the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Bill, which raised U.S. tariffs on some 890 products. What happened was immediately other countries retaliated, and world trade shrank enormously. By the end of 1934, world trade had plummeted some 66% from the 1929 level. However, you're assuming that it's all based upon the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act. There are economists who say that this loss of world trade was not based on tariffs alone. You see, the stock market had already tanked. Now, the Tariff Act of 1930 started out as a bill that would only raise tariffs on some agricultural products to protect American farmers. Was that a bad thing? Or would those of you who have been crucified would like to see American farms go out of business, like Ronald Reagan almost destroyed the American farmer? Did you know that? I know that you don't want to hear this uncomfortable fact, but Ronald Reagan almost destroyed the family farm in America. He certainly made it possible for the agribusinesses to increase, which is not a bad thing necessarily, but there were a lot of small farmers who were destroyed by Ronald Reagan. Now, in 1930, I know it's a long time ago, when the Smoot-Hawley bill was signed into law, the economy was already slipping into the Great Depression. 2 years later, unemployment had reached almost 24%. 5,000 banks had failed. Hundreds of thousands were homeless and living in shanty towns. It sounds like America today. You know, it's sort of like two Americas right now. You've got condominiums in Miami selling for millions of dollars, houses in Beverly Hills selling for hundreds of millions of dollars, apartments in Manhattan selling for millions of dollars, and then you have people living in the gutter. Living in the gutter, living in cardboard shacks. They may not be Hoovervilles, but the next time you see a bum in New York City living in a cardboard box, shall we call it an Obamaville? Yeah, let's call it Obamavilles. We keep hearing about Hoovervilles. The homeless living in shanty towns lived in Hoovervilles. But you know, in San Francisco, there are many Obamavilles. They're cardboard boxes where the homeless reside. So, unemployment? What is unemployment in America? Do you know what the real unemployment rate is? If you remove the people who have stopped looking for work, and you remove the people who have taken part-time jobs, it's above 20% in the U.S. under Barry Obama, who has destroyed the U.S. economy. The only reason you don't feel it is that the rich have never been richer. The economy is booming on one side of the ledger, which is why a character like Bernard Sanderman can go so far, because he's appealing to the have-nots. Because of the Obamavilles and Obama's fake economy. Okay, we'll talk about tariffs and economic issues right here with Donald Trump in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Donald Trump, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. How are you?
So glad that you could be on today. It's a huge day. How does it look tonight in Wisconsin?
I think it looks great, Michael. I'm right now at an airport hangar. We have thousands of people. I'm about ready to make a speech, and thousands of people. I mean, every place I go, it's the same. So, you know, the polls are showing it pretty close to even, but I feel better than that. I feel like I did in New Hampshire when it was supposed to be even, and I won in a landslide. So, you know, I think we're going to do well.
The people love you, Donald. I know that. Even though the mainstream media and all of the naysayers are saying you had a bad week, and there was some, you know, missteps here and there. First of all, I wouldn't go near that devil on MSNBC. I don't know why you went into the Vipers then, but let's put that aside. Drudge is reporting that Cruz is moving to steal Trump Arizona delegates. What is this about with the RNC? What are they trying to do, Donald?
Well, you know, we've won the delegates with the voters. They won't be able to do it, but I call him Lion Ted because he's really, I've never seen anything like this guy. But we won, like Louisiana, we won it. And they're trying to steal our delegates. It's a disgraceful thing, but the voters get it. I'm up by, you know, almost 300 delegates, and I think we're going to put it away, and I hope we're going to do well in Wisconsin. I think we are going to do well in Wisconsin. The crowds are incredible. It's about making America great again, Michael. You understand that better than almost anybody.
Well, I understand borders, language, and culture, but everyone's saying you don't have specific plans. But the fact of the matter is, I've asked you specific questions over the last 3 months. I've gotten specific answers. They don't want to hear it when you give specific answers. They make believe you're not giving them. So what's the point of answering them if they make believe you're not answering them? I know where you're coming from. What did you and the RNC discuss in your meeting? Can you divulge anything to the Savage Nation about you and Reince Priebus, or whatever his name is, Reince Priebus?
Well, first of all, with Reince, it was a very nice conversation. Nothing much, nothing to write home about. It was just a normal conversation, nothing very interesting, except that, you know, I want to be treated fairly, and I said that. But more importantly, when you talk about the media. I have such detail, and I give such detail, and I talk about NATO and how we're paying the brunt of it and other nations should be paying and how other nations should be paying us for defense and they're not giving us the kind of money we should be paid and all of that. And then they'll say, Donald Trump wants to arm Japan, as an example, with nuclear weapons. And Donald Trump this and Donald Trump that. They don't give you they give you 2% of what you say, and they make it sound foolish. These are really dishonest people, these media people. I give tremendous detail. Hey, I'm like a smart person. I give tremendous detail, but they only give about 5% of what I say, and it doesn't work when you give 5% of what you say. So they're very, very dishonest. You know it as well as I do, and despite that, I think we're doing really well, and I think we're going to have a great day. I hope we're going to have a great day tomorrow in Wisconsin.
Look, this article in New York Magazine, which is very favorable to you, which is a very interesting one, Donald. Obviously, you're not going to answer anything you don't want to answer, but the reporter for the article, Gabriel Sherman, is very friendly to you, and he says that you say that Murdoch has been very bad to you. Is that true? Do you think Murdoch's... Look, I've said on my show that Rupert Murdoch is in a tank for Hillary Clinton. I think it's well known behind the scenes that he's supporting Hillary Clinton. Do you think that explains why he put his attack dog, Mad Dog Kelly, on you?
Well, I don't know exactly. I can tell you I've always liked Rupert, but I would say certainly the Wall Street Journal treats me horribly and Fox treats me horribly. Megyn Kelly treats me very unfairly. I mean, it's all Trump all the time with her show. If she ever took me off her show, her ratings would drop like a rock.
But it's no, that's why I've given her a new name, Mad Dog Kelly, because I've never seen anything as unprofessional as what she's doing. She puts MSNBC to shame for what she's been doing.
Yeah, it doesn't get any worse than that. And what she does, and even guests, you know, she'll have guests that are always favorable to me. When they go on her show, they're horrible. I call them up and say, whatever happened to you? I mean, that was terrible what you said. And, you know, they're totally favorable to me all the time, but they go on her show and they become, because she obviously must tell them to be unfavorable. I guess maybe they want to be on the show. But I call her out, and she's very unfair to me and covers me all the time. I don't do her show. I won't do her show. But she covers.
I don't blame you because she's no longer even a modicum of a fair journalist. But Donald, the presidency is the whole thing, isn't it? And the reason you're popular is because of borders, because of immigration, because of the flood of Muslims coming into the country. I would almost say, Donald, please don't let the moderate influences in your campaign take you off point. It's what got you where you are. Are you going to modify your campaign and move a little bit more to the center now?
You know, you just said it better than anybody could. It's what got me here. I mean, I'm leading by a lot. I have millions of votes more. You know, they don't even look at that. They look at delegates, but I have a lot of delegates more. But I have millions of votes more than Cruz, more than anybody, and millions of votes. And you know, you see what's happening. It's the biggest story in politics is all these people coming out to vote for me. And the last thing I should be doing right now is changing, Michael. So I don't think you have anything to worry about, okay?
No, I'm saying, Donald, look, I know that once a campaign reaches this height, new people come in. I know you hired a former campaign advisor for Bob Dole, which sends chills up my spine, because what they're going to do is tell you to move to the center. I think that's a disastrous mistake. The country is in turmoil. It's falling apart. Obama is acting out in a more draconian way that he's ever acted out. Goes to Cuba, doesn't leave a ball game, bombs going off from Brussels, flies to South America, says there's no difference between communism and capitalism. He's going crazy. We need someone to counterbalance the disaster of the last 8 years. You're it. None of the others could do it. Ted Cruz is part of the establishment. He's a sitting senator. We all know that, Donald. We need you to stay strong. I mean, I'm almost imploring you to listen to the Savage Nation, not to the campaign advisors. They've destroyed more men than you could imagine.
Savage.
Well, the interview continues in the next hour, and as a special treat for those of you who are nervous and want to hear the rest now but can't wait, we have a really, really, really wonderful segment coming up at the top of the hour with the reporter Gabriel Sherman from New York Magazine, who interviewed Donald Trump in one of the most amazing interviews inside the most unorthodox campaign in political history by Gabriel Sherman. And he recently interviewed Donald Trump at his private club in Palm Beach, Mar-a-Lago, where he met Hope Hicks, Trump's 27-year-old press secretary, who came out of the pool wearing a cover-up over her bikini bottoms, her hair still wet from the pool, scanning headlines on her iPhone next to Trump's square-jawed campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski. It's good writing, Gabriel Sherman, New York Magazine, where he says, Trump told him that Murdoch and Bloomberg are bad to him and that he knows Fox's secrets. Oh, boy. Well, we'll see if Mr. Sherman will share any of Mr. Roger Ailes' secrets on the Savage Nation, because Roger Ailes is one of my antagonists for reasons I could never understand. I've been trying to understand for years why they would have unknown talk show hosts on as guests. This goes back years. People who have very little audience, small audiences, and they reach out for talk show hosts because they know that talk radio boosts television. We have much larger audiences than they do, and there's a lot of crossover. And yet, there's been a blacklist put out by Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch against Michael Savage. I wonder if it has anything to do with the secrets about Roger Ailes, and we'll see if we can find out from what these secrets might be, if there are any, from Gabriel Sherman, who will join us at the top of the hour, and again, the second half of the interview with Donald Trump at the bottom of the next hour. Here are some of the comments from people like you on Michael Savage's Facebook page. David Mandera writes, of course, the establishment owns the mainstream media. They will protect their economic and political interests. Trump is a major wild card, and he scares them to death. You know, I think that summarizes it all. How many years have I told you about interlocking corporate directorships? Back in the 1960s, this used to be a big calling card of the left in America. They taught us that we should look into interlocking or overlapping corporate directorships. I didn't quite understand it then, but I know about it now. What they meant by that is that individuals will sit on the boards of News Corporation, which owns Fox News, Searchlight Films, you name it, HarperCollins. Individuals who sit on that board could be sitting on a company that provides services to illegal aliens, making billions of dollars, right? They could be sitting on hospital boards that provide services to millions of illegal aliens for a profit. God knows where they sit. That's what we mean by interlocking corporate directorships. What's interesting to me as an independent conservative, if I have to define myself at all, and I hate to be defined by anybody or anything, but if I had to define myself, I have defined myself as an independent for years. Certainly I'm conservative from the point of view of borders, language, and culture. But from a social point of view, man, call me what you want. I'm a sexual libertarian, meaning I don't care what you do with your body. It's your body. As long as children are not involved, I really don't want to know about it. I am not interested. This is the new world that we live in. And the whole idea of the Christian right telling you what to do with your body, frankly, is abhorrent to me. It's ethically and morally interesting that people would try to tell you how you should seek pleasure with your own body. I mean, you know, we're all wired in a weird way. And we all have to seek pleasure in weird ways. Some find it interesting to be a normopath physically. Some are able to be normopaths physically. Some are not normopaths physically. Some are quite weird physically. Does that make them a bad person? You mean you can't love America and be a weirdo? You can't be a conservative and be a weirdo? I mean, think about that. Okay, so we're moving past the issue of the body onto the body politic. And we are talking about what's happening in this country and why Trump is so popular. It's not that Trump is a political genius who suddenly appeared, sort of like an Aristotle or Plato that we never heard about. It's not as though he had written some secret books about how to save America and suddenly we're hearing from him. It's not as though he was hand-selected by a secret organization while keeping us in the dark about his genius for all these decades. He's a flawed man like all of us. So why is it that we're all excited by Donald Trump? I almost said Ronald Trump. Why are we so excited by Donald Trump's candidacy? What is it? Put your finger on that pulse. Is it that he's smarter than everyone else? He may be. He's pretty smart, not smarter than everyone else. I think Ted Cruz is very smart, but we'll go into why I don't support Ted Cruz in a few minutes. The main thing is, I'll go back to what I said from the beginning. I don't vary in my positions. Ted Cruz cannot beat Hillary in a general election. Impossible. Donald Trump might beat her in a general election. and I said might. It would be a very, very close race. It'd be a difference of only a few million votes. But with the Electoral College, I'm not so sure what might happen. And now with the Republican establishment, mainly rinse Prius, the next time you have your Prius washed in a car wash, think of the chairman of the Republican National Committee. That's rinse Prius. It looks like that's what he does for a hobby. You may race cars or drag race cars or race boats or fly planes. He rinses his Prius on the weekends. Where they got this milquetoast from, I'll never understand. But rinse Prius is trying to, well, he's a front man for the power structure behind the Republican National Committee. They wouldn't have picked anyone with any strength, so they picked a weak on a guy like him. Rinse Prius is trying to steal the delegates away from Trump. Why? Why? You can't figure this out by now? Why are they so animated against Trump and all of a sudden so supportive of Cruz, who they didn't like that much a while ago? When, remember a guy named Bush was running? Remember years and years and years ago there was another Bush running? Remember some guy from Florida who lost 10 pounds a month as he was running? And finally he was taken off the campaign trail. There were 17 people originally. Then there was a guy who played a guitar. No one remembers his name anymore. Who was he? Where is he now? Where's the guy who played a guitar? No one even knows his name. I'll bet you cannot name all 17 candidates who were in the original fight for the finish line on the Republican side. Well, some of you probably can. My point is not who you can remember or who you can't remember. My point is that there are two men left. And one of them is supported by the Republican establishment, and one of them is hated by the Republican establishment. So ask yourself why Donald Trump is hated by the Republican establishment. It's not that he can't beat Hillary, as they're saying. It's because they'll be out of a job. He'll bring in his own people. He'll bring in 20-year-olds. He'll bring in 25-year-olds. He'll bring in 30-year-olds. He'll get generals who are thrown out of the military to run the military. You follow the picture? There'll be manufacturing coming back to America because, as you're going to hear in the next hour, he actually has a plan of what to do to companies that move abroad. Well, it's all here on the Savage Nation. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Without any rage or self-righteous indignation, you know, there's righteous indignation, then there's self-righteous indignation. I'm not using that on this show. I'm using conversation to talk about the election today. That's the mood I'm in. Very sober. Trump was on at the bottom. He'll be back at the second half of the interview. We'll be replayed at the bottom of the next hour. And in the third hour of the show, I'm going to talk about male sexuality and how it's misportrayed by the media and why it's being misportrayed and what it's doing to the psyche of men and women to further degrade the society, at least from my point of view. So someone wrote this on my, I love the comments I'm getting on Facebook, on Michael Savage's Facebook page. I used, you know, in the beginning of radio, I used to have to get comments from listeners in addition to calling in. Many of you couldn't get in, right? I used to get faxes during a show. In the early days of radio in 94, 95, we actually had fax machines in our studios, and producers would run in from the newsroom with a fax comment. Well, right now we get email comments, and here's one of them just came in. It came in Hebrew, translated into English. The guy writes, "Remember that leftist reporter who said Obama gave him a thrill up his leg? Well, Trump gives people a thrill from head to toe." He's exciting people across the globe. Freddie Frank writes, "The media is a mockery machine. The reporters are all millennial socialists under 30 with no clue about Trump or what America was that he wants to make great again. They're all inconsiderate." Inconsiderate. That's a great word. Inconsiderate. They have no idea what America was or could be again. And so that's the battle that we have here on the Savage Nation, and you have in your own life every day, and also that Donald Trump is having, and we have to overcome it. I'll tell you about a Chinese lady I met in the streets of San Francisco yesterday and what she has to say about communism coming to America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, I'm a Blue Monday. Got to work.
All right, welcome back to The Savage Nation. We had the first half of the interview with Donald Trump from today on, and we're going to have the next half on at the bottom of the hour. Right now, we have a man named Gabriel Sherman, who's a great writer for New York Magazine. And he wrote a fabulous article called, I guess you call it Operation Trump, Inside the Most Unorthodox Campaign in Political History. And what's interesting about this article is how interesting the article is. Instead of preempting the guest himself, let's go immediately to New York City to Gabriel Sherman. Mr. Sherman, thanks for joining us on the Savage Nation.
Good to be with you.
So it's a great article, and you call it the most unorthodox campaign in political history. Could you explain what that means? Why is it unorthodox?
Yeah, well, really, I set out to report this piece to figure out how Donald Trump has pulled off one of the biggest political upsets in modern history. And what I learned is that Donald Trump is the campaign strategist, the media strategist, and the candidate all wrapped into one. I mean, he is running this campaign. It's all coming out of his head. I mean, he has a small staff, a small circle of people around him. But really, we have never seen someone run a campaign while also being the candidate at the same time. It's unprecedented.
I read your article with great interest because you divulged certain juicy tidbits that I've not seen anywhere else. For example, you said that he hired deputy campaign manager Michael Glassner, a former Bob Dole advisor, and that set off alarm bells in me, and I actually asked Donald Trump about that. I said, does this indicate that you're going to suddenly move to the center? You can't believe what he said about that, but I fear that, by the way, Mr. Sherman, because I've seen it happen before, notably with an individual who was very conservative in the at the outset. Then they hired these mainstream advisors, and before you know it, they're talking like the middle. What do you think is going to happen next?
Well, I think in the case of Glassner, you know, Michael Glassner has been an experienced political operative. He did work for Bob Dole, but it's important to point out, very briefly in 2008, he worked for Governor Sarah Palin on John McCain's presidential campaign on the vice presidential ticket. So she, Glassner, obviously, by his association with Palin, shows that he's comfortable with someone who has very strong conservative views and who's an...
Between me and you, and I mean, you're not here to get my opinion so much as I am to get yours. I think Palin is a lead weight around Trump's neck, and I have no idea why anyone would advise him to tie himself to her. I mean, she's the past. Why do you think he's tying himself to Palin?
Well, I think, you know, when the time of that that endorsement was when he was in a real dead heat with Ted Cruz and Ben Carson for the evangelical and the far-right conservative vote. And Palin, for whatever you say about her, she still does have a very, you know, big following in the Christian conservative world. And so I think Trump thought that that would be a strategic asset to the campaign.
Mm. You then talk about his young press secretary, Hope Hicks, who came out of the pool wearing a cover-up over her bikini bottoms. Where did she come from?
So Hope Hicks had worked for Donald Trump in his business for several years. She worked for Ivanka Trump's fashion line and for the Trump family hotel and resorts. So she comes out of the business and lifestyle PR world, not the political world. And I think, one thing that's so interesting about her is that, like, you know, many people in Trump's inner circles, she is not a longtime political operative. She's new to this and is pulling off this team, this ragtag team of outsiders that he's put together, has pulled off this amazing upset. You know, look at Jeb Bush. He raised in excess of $140+ million, surrounded himself with the highest paid consultants you can find in Washington, D.C., and where did it get him? Nowhere. So I think whatever you say about Donald Trump, his circle of advisors has shown that it's not necessarily the money or the experience. You know, they've tapped into something that is connecting with an audience at this moment.
Well, we've dealt with Hope Hicks here on the Savage Nation for months. I find it to be very straightforward and delightful, frankly. You know, if he can do it, he'll do it. If he can't, she'll tell you that. There's no game playing. And she answers emails, unlike Cruz's campaign, which will not even answer my producer's emails. I think you have to know that, Gabriel. There's a big difference between a reactive group of individuals like those around Donald Trump, as inexperienced as they may be, they're more direct and more honest, and the Cruzites, who are acting like old school, old line Republicans, but I don't think you need to hear that from me. She's 27 years old. She's the press secretary. And look how well he's doing with the millennial. That's interesting unto itself. How is Donald Trump doing with the millennial voters? We hear that college campuses are pretty crazy for him.
Well, that's a good question. You know, I've not looked at specific polling data to sort of understand what his support is. I know anecdotally I can tell you, you know, having traveled to Trump rallies in Iowa and Florida and, you know, seeing the crowd, there is a lot of young people. And I think one thing that speaks to that is Trump is bringing, and he's told me this in my interviews and he said it many other places, he's bringing new people into the process. And I think the excitement of Donald Trump's candidacy, again, whether you agree with him on the issues or not, is attracting people. You know, 20-somethings are not the most politically engaged demographic, and Trump is bringing these people into the process. He's an exciting, unpredictable candidate. He's an entertaining candidate. So, you know, it's funny that a lot of people think millennials and young people are, you know, liberal Bernie Sanders voters, but there is a segment that is also being drawn to the Trump campaign.
I've noticed that. We're speaking with Gabriel Sherman of New York Magazine, who ran a great interview, who conducted a great interview with the Trump people and Trump himself. Newsmax magazine summarized your interview saying Trump says Murdoch and Bloomberg are bad to me, knows Fox secrets. And he quotes your magazine article saying, Trump told you Bloomberg's been quite bad to me. I thought he was a friend of mine. He's no friend of mine. He was nasty. What's that about? Any idea?
Well, you know, that is what's so fascinating there is that there's a personal dimension to Donald Trump's feelings about Michael Bloomberg. You know, before Donald Trump was a presidential candidate, he was a real estate mogul in New York and had actually done business dealings with Michael Bloomberg when Michael Bloomberg was mayor. You know, Donald Trump helped develop a New York City-run public golf course in the Bronx, and the Bloomberg administration gave Trump the license to develop the course. So Trump feels that, you know, he had a sort of a good, productive working relationship with the then mayor, and then he sees Bloomberg's comments about how Trump is destroying America. So I think he feels, again, that Bloomberg is one of these guys who, you know, was happy to do business with him when he was a businessman, but as soon as he became a politician, has kind of turned the other way.
Didn't Donald Trump pay all the money to rebuild the Wollman skating rink in Central Park? Didn't he donate that to the city of New York?
That was many years ago. That's what a story that Trump tells over and over again about his ability to break through the bureaucratic morass and get projects done. And that's a kind of a point of pride for Trump that he was able to get a city-funded project done on a much tighter time schedule than it could have been done otherwise.
Mr. Sherman, one of the most interesting parts of the article about you is this. You're quoted as saying, in 2014, I published a biography of Roger Ailes, which upset the famously paranoid executive. Several months before it landed in stores, Roger Ailes fired his longtime PR advisor, Brian Lewis, accusing him of being a source. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. In 2013, Brian Lewis, who has worked for Roger Ailes since the network's founding in 1996, and even predating that, he was at Ailes' side at NBC when Roger Ailes was a senior NBC executive. He knows Roger Ailes' darkest secrets, and Ailes fired him, and they entered into a contentious negotiation, and Brian Lewis was threatening to become a whistleblower and go public with all of the really shady things that Fox News has done behind the scenes and what Roger...
Oh, this is too good to believe. Lewis hired high-powered lawyer Judd Burstein and claimed he had bombs that would destroy Roger Ailes and Fox News. That's when Trump got involved. What happened then?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a world collide kind of moment. You know, as it happens, Judd Burstein, who's a New York City Manhattan litigator, had actually done work with Donald Trump in the 90s. And so Roger Ailes, who was friendly with Trump, thought that Trump could be a third-party mediator because he was friends with Burstein, and Trump was friends with Ailes. I mean, he was kind of the link between the
two.
And so they conducted these secret negotiations out of Trump's office at Trump Tower. And in the course of this, Trump learned all of the negotiating points and the leverage that Lewis had and he threatened to expose. And what I find so fascinating is that if you look at this campaign, Trump has been willing to go to war against Roger Ailes like no Republican has. And, you know, in some respects, it's because he has these cards to play. He knows where the proverbial bodies are buried. Roger Ailes does not want to risk getting into some mutually assured destruction with Donald Trump, because as Trump has proven, he's willing to go there. I mean, just look at what he said in the past about paying Hillary Clinton to come to his wedding, what he said about Rosie O'Donnell, Megyn Kelly. I mean, Trump is willing to take the public debate to places that no one else is, and Roger Ailes knows that.
This is amazing. We're speaking with a reporter for New York Magazine, Gabriel Sherman. And Gabriel, I hope you can stay a minute, because when we come back, I want to find out more about what's quoted here in Newsmax. It says, according to Sherman, Fox paid Lewis millions of dollars to go away quietly. And then I want to learn more about your own biography of Roger Ailes, and I can't wait to get my hands on a copy. What's the title of the book?
The Loudest Voice in the Room. It was published by Random House.
I think I do remember the book. In fact, I quoted it extensively at the time. We'll be right back with New York Magazine's star reporter, Gabriel Sherman, on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI. At the bottom of this hour, we have the second half of the Donald Trump interview from today. Right now, we go back to our guest, Gabriel Sherman from New York Magazine. Mr. Sherman, welcome back to the program. So your book, The Loudest Voice in the Room, about Roger Ailes, does it have anything in it that we should know about this whole business with Donald Trump? Is there any crossover there?
Well, you know, really what the book tells is the story of how Ailes became the most powerful conservative figure in America, and came to take over the Republican Party. That's the kind of end point. The book ends after the 2012 election. And what Donald Trump has done has shattered that myth that Roger Ailes is unassailable in the conservative movement. No major conservative figure has gone up against Roger Ailes the way Trump has, and actually has won. And so that, you know, that's a kind of a coda, and I have not written a second edition of the book, but that is what I'm following this election cycle, is really the coda to the end of Fox News, because its power was on the way down. At the end of my book, you know, Mitt Romney lost the election. Ailes wanted to elect the next president. He told people that.
Wow.
He couldn't.
Oh, wow.
And so now,
so Ailes sees him, Roger Ailes thinks he's a kingmaker. Is that what you're saying? Look, you know, this is very, very personal for me. I got to tell you why. Donald Trump comes on this show regularly. Ted Cruz will not even return an email. That's number one. But number two, Roger Ailes has banished me from Fox News. I'm not an insignificant player in the conservative thought process. I've had many best-selling books. I have a big radio audience. Yet Roger Ailes has put the kibosh on my appearing on that network because I am not a member of the Republican National Committee's view of what a Republican should be like. They've treated me the same way they're treating Donald Trump. The difference is he's overridden him. And I think this explains why. Because they don't want a real firebrand running the country, do they?
Well, you know, Roger Ailes has always been the bridge between the conservative grassroots base and the Republican establishment. He's always channeled the grassroots, the passion and the fervor of the grassroots, and used it towards establishment ends. And really what this election cycle has shown is that the grassroots is no longer, you know, willing to channel their political fervor into an establishment candidate. You know, 2008 we had John McCain. Last cycle there is Mitt Romney, and the grassroots Trump has become the standard bearer for this group of people that says no longer are we willing to back people that don't have necessarily our economic or cultural interests at heart. And so this has been a split. Donald Trump has effectively split the Republican Party, and Fox News has been a casualty of that split, because for so long Roger Ailes was able to use Fox News to keep the base and the grassroots fired up while the Republican Party continued to elect establishment players.
But what you're telling me is amazing. What I'm hearing is Roger Ailes co-opted the entire conservative movement, and suddenly his co-option is no longer operational. And what's interesting to me is that in your book, your biography of this manipulator, you said that after he fired his longtime friend and PR advisor, Brian Lewis, Lewis hired high-powered lawyer Judd Burstein. Burstein knew Trump. Trump negotiated the deal. What are some of the secrets that Roger Ailes is trying to hide? Do you have any idea?
I have some ideas. I mean, I'm not in a way that I can say on air, but clearly they were worth millions of dollars. I mean, let's just step back a second. You know, Rupert Murdoch paid Judith Regan, a book publisher who was involved in a series of scandals, upwards of $10 to $12 million to go away quietly. This was years
ago. I remember that case. So what's this about now?
History of Rupert Murdoch's empire paying high-level executives lots of money to not tell the world what they know. And Roger Ailes is part of that tradition, and Brian Lewis was at his side in the room for many of the most secretive and potentially scandalous private meetings. He knows, again, where the proverbial bodies are buried. I mean, just look at the scandals Fox News has been involved with. You know, Roger Ailes writing private memos, writing a private memo to Karl Rove right after 9/11, telling George W. Bush what he thinks he should do. You know, Roger Ailes being involved in the Bill O'Reilly sexual harassment lawsuit, being in the...
You mean the O'Reilly loofah lawsuit, that one?
So there's just a whole history of really messy and scandalous things that Brian Lewis knows what happened. And Roger Ailes doesn't want that in public, and clearly he didn't want it in public because he was willing to pay millions of dollars of the shareholder money of 21st Century Fox, the parent company of Fox News, to pay this guy, to pay Brian Lewis to sign non-disclosure agreements.
Unbelievable. Listen, we're almost out of time, and Donald Trump's second half of the interview is coming up right after the break. This has been one of the best interviews I've had in like forever. I hope you'll come back with us, Mr. Sherman, on the Savage Nation to report from New York Magazine. I thoroughly enjoyed your visit.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. What an incredible insight this young man has. I'll be right back. Be here with Donald Trump.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Donald Trump, welcome to the Savage Nation. Getting back to the core issue, are you still as strong on building that wall?
Yes, 100%. Don't worry about it. That's a delegate man I hired. He's excellent for delegates, but he has nothing to do with policy. Nobody does. We'll see what happens. I have experts, but ultimately I call the shot. No, the wall's going to be built. The border's going to be strong. Our military's going to be strengthened tremendously. We're not going to be pushed around. We're going to renegotiate trade deals. And we're going to get the country back. We're going to take back our jobs. We're going to bring them back from Mexico and all these places that have robbed us of our jobs. Do not worry, Michael. Do not worry.
Okay, last point. I know you're just heading out to the rally. We're all going to watch it on TV, and this is going to be a big deal today in Wisconsin. And win or lose, it's not the end of the game here, is it? What comes next? What's right after Wisconsin?
Well, it's not, and I'd love to win Wisconsin, but the big thing is New York, and I have a tremendous lead in New York, like a 30-point or a 40-point lead in New York, and I'll be back very soon. I'll be back sometime tomorrow night. I'm going to stay in Wisconsin during this whole process. I'll be back tomorrow night. By the way, you have a big fan base in Wisconsin, so I hope all those people from Wisconsin that are listening are going to go out and vote for Trump, because it's so important that we beat the establishment and beat these guys back.
Well, we do. We have four stations in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin Republican voters tend to be more conservative than the average Republican voter. And that's why I think immigration is very big in Wisconsin as well. They've had a terrible problem in Wisconsin with illegal aliens and crime. That's a fact of reality.
They have a terrible problem there. They have a terrible drug problem. They've had a tremendous drug problem pouring across from the southern border. All these things we're going to take care of. But, you know, they have a big jobs problem because a lot of jobs are leaving Wisconsin. They've really lost a lot of jobs. So all of those things, that's my wheelhouse.
Donald, do you mean manufacturing has gone out of the state? Is that what you're talking about, jobs?
Manufacturing. Tremendous manufacturing has left. They've gone to Mexico. They've gone to all sorts of places, but a lot of business is going to Mexico.
But Donald, I know you're in a rush, but that started with NAFTA under Bill and Hillary Clinton. Why is it that in all these debates between you and Cruz, there's no turning of the guns towards the real enemy, which is Hillary Clinton? I don't know why you don't focus on her.
And by the way, well, I really want to focus on her after I get rid of the next two. You know, I started off the 17, now there's down to two. So I want to knock out the final two, and then I'll be hitting her, like, you know, and legitimately on the bad things she's done. Look at Libya, where ISIS has now taken over the oil from Libya, and they're selling oil. I mean, can you believe it? And that was her deal.
Yeah, she owns the Arab Spring, which caused the millions of refugees. Never asked about it by Megyn Kelly. Never asked about it by Anderson Cooper. Never asked about it by Jake Tapper. She caused the Arab Spring and the flood of refugees into Europe. And yet no one ever talks about it. Instead, they talk about your campaign manager daring to stop an idiot girl who almost assaulted you, as far as I'm concerned. By the way, Donald, you have to hear this. We had Secret Service, we had DEA guys call the show after that. They said if they were there, she would have been on the ground probably with a broken arm. Lewandowski did nothing but fend her off you, by the way.
It's very unfair. What happened to him is very, very unfair, and it'll be taken care of. But it was so unfair what happened to him. I will tell you this. I think we're really doing well. Jobs will be a big factor, bringing our businesses back, bringing the companies back, and not letting companies go, because many companies are planning to leave the United States to go to Mexico and other places. We're not going to let that happen.
But how do you make them stay here? What would you do to keep them here?
We have incentives, and we also have another incentive. When they go into Mexico and they think they're going to fire all our people and go into Mexico and sell things without tax in the United States, they're going to pay a tax, and it's going to make them change their mind very quickly, Michael.
Ah, okay. You're going to make them pay a tax on the goods to return here, goods that would have been manufactured here. That's good. Great idea. That goes along with tariffs on China's goods. I don't know why that's so controversial. I've called for it for 3 years. They've been getting away with murder. Why don't we hit them with tariffs?
Guys like Cruz are in the pocket of the special interests, much of which has to do with China and companies that do business with China. And so Cruz and all these guys don't want to do anything that's going to upset China. And with me, I'm all self-funding. I'm putting up, you know, I'm putting up my own money. I'm putting up a lot of money. I'm running all with my money. So I'm not, you know, getting $10 million from companies that do business with China and everything else. And I will straighten it out so fast. You know, Carl Icahn endorsed me. Some of the greatest business minds endorsed me, many of them. And you'll see what happens. It's going to be very quick. It's going to be very quick. And we'll still get along with everybody, but it's going to be fair. Right now, we're being ripped off by China and everybody else we do business with.
100% right, Donald Trump. The crowd's waiting for you. We wish you so great results in Wisconsin, on to New York. God bless America, and thank you very much for representing this country.
Thank you, Michael, very much. Get all the people from Wisconsin, go out and vote. Tell them to get out and vote, Michael. Have a good
time. No, believe me, that's what this is all about, Donald. Thanks very much for being with me on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
All right, there it is. Bullet points from today's interviews. If you care to comment, the phone number is 855-472-8282. There are 15 bullet points, substantive bullet points from this interview that will not appear on Newsmax, that will not appear on the Drudge Report, will not appear on Breitbart, will not appear on USA Today, will not appear on the LA Times website. They will appear on MichaelSavage.com. Because I am the outsider. Never forget that. Just as Roger Ailes has tried to shun Trump, using Megyn Kelly as his bulldog, same with me. And I faced it for years, and I go on anyway. Life goes on with or without certain elements of the media. Be nice with them, but if they don't want you, they don't want you. It's their network. Well, they don't like him at all. And so you're going to hear that Donald Trump gave just another boring interview to Michael Savage, who's in his camp, and there was nothing new there. I don't think that that's true. Here are some of the things you heard today. One, Cruz trying to steal nomination despite Trump having more votes. Two, his meeting with the GOP, Rince Prius, was good. Three, the media is misrepresenting his positions, such as on Japan should develop nuclear weapons. Four, he and Murdoch are friends, but his entities like the Wall Street Journal and Fox are unfair to him. Five, Megyn Kelly is actively working against him. Six, He agreed not to modify his campaign and become moderate. He will stay on point as a, I would say, putative nationalist. Seven, the Bob Dole advisor I mentioned is not advising him on anything but how to get delegates. I thought that was a fascinating insight, by the way. For me, it was. Eight, the wall with Mexico will be built. Nine, Wisconsin has a terrible drug and job problem. Manufacturing has been hollowed out. Before I go on to the other bullet points, you're invited to call 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-407-282. 855-400-7282 is the phone number to the Savage Nation. And if you get on, you'll be heard by more people than you met in your entire life. That's a big deal. I listened to Donald Trump's interview, and you know what he said? Our jobs. He didn't say jobs. The other candidates say when there are jobs lost. Jobs lost. They're not personalizing it. Donald Trump said if they take our jobs away from us, they will pay a penalty for it. Think about the difference of his language. Our jobs away from us. Donald Trump more strongly identifies as an American, in my estimation, than all the other candidates put together who I don't think have an emotional attachment to this country. He's just as narcissistic, just as egotistical, just as driven as the rest. But there's an anchoring, there's a rooting here. He's rooted in America. He is an American. He sounds like an American. I think that's his appeal. Cruz does not sound like an American. I don't think Cruz is as anchored with America as is Trump. I think I've just touched on the, fine points of the whole, in another phrase, the gestalt of Trump's appeal, to use an old phrase from the 60s, 70s. The gestalt of Trump's appeal is that he has an emotional attachment as an American to America, for America, and with Americans. I don't know how else to put it. Point nine, need to beat the establishment in Wisconsin, discussed today. 11, he will focus on Hillary after knocking out her other candidates. 12, Hillary is responsible for Libya. 13, he said he will incentivize businesses not to move abroad by punishing them with taxes if they do. 14, he said straight out that Cruz is in the pocket of special interests in China. You know, in all the attacks back and forth between him and Ted Cruz, I can't get angry at the word Ted because my dog's name is Ted, so any time I hear the word Ted, I like it. Yeah, anything with Ted in it, I like. Have you ever heard Cruz say anything negative about China or about trade with China? Do you know why? Can you figure that one out? Finally, he said that we will get along with the other countries, but fairly. He didn't say turn them into our enemies. In other words, they know they know that they need us. And after the negotiation is over and we get paid our fair share or the tariffs are put in place to make sure they don't destroy all of our manufacturing, we'll get along with them because they're still going to need us and we're still going to need them. I think what he's saying is he wants to, you know, balance the level of playing field, as they used to say. Again, I think it was a fairly good interview, and I think it was worth doing. And I think that you were happy with the interview. I'd like to hear from you. KSFO, Michael, what is Trump's appeal based on?
Yes, this is Mike. I think Donald Trump is a patriot, and I think that's the word that's been missing when people talk about him.
Well, why don't we hear that in the other candidate? Do you hear patriot in Cruz?
Saying that they're conservative, or they're this, or they're that. But Donald Trump loves his country, like you just said. He's viewed as an American.
That's an interesting distinction, isn't it, between patriotism and the word patriot means a visceral connection with the nation itself, while Cruz emphasizes his, quote, conservative credentials. They don't seem rooted in a nation, do they?
He defined what it is, and it didn't get him really anywhere else. It didn't get him any further.
Well, I think this is an important point. It sounds like an obscure point, but I think that the more people talk about their conservatism, you know, it's like, I think that he doth thou protesteth too much. Whenever anyone screams how patriotic they are, look out. when anyone screams how conservative they are, look for a liberal skeleton in their past. That's a quotable line, thinking out loud. The more anyone screams about being a conservative, look for liberal credentials in their past, or liberal links in their past. Which unto itself, by the way, shouldn't be a game killer. Many people were liberal when they were young. I was. I've told you that. I grew up in a liberal city of New York. I went to a liberal undergraduate school. I didn't really know any better. It's as I grew up and I saw the realities of liberalism and what it did to me as an American male, you know, man-child in the promised land, and how they try to steal my birthright, and how, had I not been a strong, had I been a weaker person, they would have destroyed me. I would have been left on the roadside. I would have been naked on a subway track. If I had let the left get away with what they were doing to me, such as white males need not apply, we need to balance the playing field by putting in minorities who are less qualified, you'll have to put your future on hold. Things like that, I heard all of it. And had I broken, I would just be another broken man along the way. But I kept fighting because apparently you don't know who you are until you pushed hard enough. And this is not so much about me, but I've made this Trump campaign very personal. Because I think that Trump has made his campaign very personal for tens of millions of people. Don't you agree with me that he has a personal connection with the people out there and the others never connected? Cruz does not connect. And this is an interesting fact when you study this from that point of view. Let's say Cruz is a decent guy. Let's say Cruz's values are good. Let's say there's nothing wrong with Ted Cruz. He still doesn't connect. There's something missing between him and the voters. I can't put my finger on it. Can you? Be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. Let me summarize this for all of you listening to this show so intently. History is actually repeating itself right now. In 1992, we had Ross Perot, who ran for the presidency. He was an outsider, like Donald Trump. He was a very successful businessman and a family man, like Donald Trump. He was a populist who opposed the one world government. He opposed the North American Free Trade Agreement, as, well, Donald does. He told us that if NAFTA passed, which Hillary Clinton, by the way, passed with her husband, we'd hear a giant sucking sound to the South. And I'm going to talk much more about Ross Perot and Donald Trump in the next hour. But the summation of it is that America is hanging in the balance right now. And the grand old party, run by Rince Prius, that nonentity, is stealing delegates and throwing them to Ted Cruz. Why are they throwing them to Ted Cruz? What is it about Ted Cruz that they like all of a sudden? Why? And we're going to talk about that. Because the fact of the matter is, there's only one person right now who may stop the globalists from destroying America as we know it. And that means America as we know it, with a defined identity. The America that your ancestors came to, the America that you came to, the America that still is a magnet for most of the world, that's called a national identity. Not everyone who comes here to collect welfare. I've met many immigrants, Nigeria, you name it. They're working very hard to establish themselves in America as hardworking immigrants. And yet the media would only show us one type of immigrant. That's interesting unto itself. Why do they always show us, in a strange, weird way, negatives about immigrants? What you don't know is they're playing us. They're trying to provoke a sort of hatred of immigrants, all immigrants, legal and illegal, in order to bunch them together and have the average person think that anyone who opposes illegal immigrants is a bigot. They're trying to make it so that you can't differentiate between legal and illegal immigrants. The media people are very clever, like snakes. Think of Anderson Cooper without a human body. Just put his face on a snake. This is the Savage Nation. Be here. I'm taking the fight, I said I'm-
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage Nation. So the big news is in the Trump interview, we had some old ground. We covered old ground, new ground. But WorldNet Daily, my partner on my website, just did an article, Trump to Savage, I'm not shifting my position. Frontrunner urged not to give in to moderate influences and campaign. So I'll just read it quickly. I think Art must have written it. Art Moore, great guy. In an interview Monday with one of his strongest supporters, GOP presidential primary frontrunner Donald Trump, assured Michael Savage and his audience that moderate influences in his campaign would not shift him to the center politically. Savage reminded Trump, a regular guest on the show, quote, the reason you are popular is because of borders, because of immigration, because of the flood of Muslims coming into the country. I would almost say, said Savage, Donald, please don't let the moderate influences in your campaign take you off point. It's what got you where you are, said Savage. The talk host asked Trump if he would now modify his policies and move a little bit more to the center now. Trump replied, you know, you just said it better than anybody could. It's what got me here. See, remember I said to you that Donald Trump connects with people out there, with voters? When I said that to Trump on the show, he actually responded to me, not to the idea. What did he say? He said, Michael, you just said it better than anybody could. In other words, he learned from the interview. I connected with him because he was listening. I don't think the other candidates listen. Trump emphasized he has millions of more votes and a substantial delegate lead over Cruz. And he went on. And he said, the last thing I should be doing right now is changing, Michael, he said. So I don't think you have anything to worry about, okay? Again, he answered me very personally. He said, I don't think you have anything to worry about, okay? Savage then noted that Trump recently hired Paul Manafort, age 66, an advisor to Bob Dole's 96 campaign, who is tasked with leading Trump's effort to secure delegates. The hire, Savage said, sends chills up my spine because what they're going to do is tell you to move to the center. I think that's a disastrous mistake, Savage said. The country is in turmoil. It's falling apart. Obama is acting in a more draconian way than he's ever acted. He goes to Cuba, doesn't leave a ball game, bombs going off in Brussels, flies to South America, says there's no difference between communism and capitalism. He's going crazy. Savage continued, we need someone to counterbalance the disaster of the last 8 years. You're it. None of the others can do it. Ted Cruz is part of the establishment. We need you to stay strong, Savage said. I mean, I'm almost imploring you to listen to the Savage Nation, Savage said with a chuckle, not to the campaign advisors who have destroyed more men than you could imagine. Trump then assured Savage he should not worry, emphasizing that's a delegate man I hired. He's excellent for delegates, said Trump. But he has nothing to do with policy. Nobody does. We'll see what happens. Now, do you realize what a big statement that is? It's confirming what the reporter from the New York magazine told us earlier. Donald Trump is his own campaign manager. Donald Trump is his own speechwriter. He's like the producer, the director, and the writer, and the star of a movie. You understand that? So he just confirmed that my fears were unfounded. That the man he hired is great in getting delegates, but he has nothing to do with policy. And then Trump said, I have experts, but ultimately I call the shots. Then we read in the article by WorldNet Daily, Manafort also helped manage nomination fights for Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. Trump continued, no, the wall is going to be built. The border is going to be strong, etc. Well, he said a lot of things. Read the story. It's on michaelsavage.com on the top right. You can read it on WorldNet Daily. Or you can listen to the Trump interview at some point. I want to thank Art for writing that. I want to go into Ted Cruz for a minute because there's an element of Ted Cruz's campaign that worries me, and that's the religious vision that he and his father have for him in the Dominionism that they practice. I really don't like religious fanatics running a country. If you look at Iran, you see what happens when religious fanatics run a country. They believe that they can't do any wrong. They believe God is on their side, and then they act accordingly. So what are the religious beliefs of Ted Cruz and his father, Rafael? Do they think Do they think he's actually the Messiah? His father has been a big influence on his campaign trail. That's fine. They've spoken together, prayed together, campaigned together. Fine, nothing wrong with that. But why is it that Ted Cruz does not publicly embrace his father so publicly? Well, it's because his father, Raphael, subscribes to what is known as dominionism, which believes that Christianity should exercise dominion over all of society, not just the traditional boundaries of religion. Some of you would agree with that. But what is dominionism? What are the Seven Mountains beliefs? Well, you could read it yourself. But the etymological and scriptural roots of dominionism are God's command that Adam and Eve should, quote, have dominion over all the earth. And also the biblical passage 2:2 in Isaiah says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains." Those mountains are interpreted, of course, not in a literal fashion, but in a figurative fashion. And they refer to the seven mountains of society as family, religion, arts and entertainment, media, government, education, and business. Now, all of us know that a little more Christianity in these mountains of our society would be a good thing. We all know that. But how much of the Christian religion do we want imposing itself on all of these aspects of our life is the next question. But beyond that, not the issue of how much of Christianity do we want influencing these elements of our society, but it's what the Seven Mountains dominionists actually believe. They're literally messianic beliefs. When Ted Cruz was only 4 years old, his father Raphael says that he told him, "You know, Ted, you have been gifted above any man that I know, and God has destined you for greatness." Fine. That doesn't mean he thinks he's the Messiah. So you can make more of it than it is, or you can make less of it than it is. But I think it's certainly something to think about. And I don't want a theological nation. I don't want to live in a nation run by theologians, frankly. Okay, so 855-407-282 is the phone number. Why is Trump appealing? I said it's because he connects. Do you agree with that? WMAC in Georgia. Sonny, go ahead, please. What's your position?
Yes, Michael. I'd like to try to answer that question about why Cruz doesn't connect. Trump connects with people because he speaks to people as if you were having coffee with him. It's very conversational. So you get the sense that what you see is what you get. Cruz, on the other hand, you can tell that his points are prepared, and he comes across as a Southern Baptist fire and brimstone preacher screaming and yelling and pointing his finger. And so I thought about that, and that type of preacher, you would never think that they acted or talk like.
All right, your phone's breaking up. I got the picture. He comes across as a preacher. I don't know. I never warmed up to Ted Cruz. I never had a feeling, a reaction of any kind to him. I really didn't ever react to him. I saw, you know, sometimes I step back from this job that I do called talk radio host, and before I talk, beginning of the day, I said, well, how would I, as an 18-year-old, when I was 18, how would I have looked at this? Because I think the mind of the average person out there driving around or casually listening, not everyone's sitting on the edge of their seats waiting for every word of wisdom that spills out of my mouth. They're listening. You know, some of it is interesting to them, some of it isn't, some is amusing, whatever. And I'm saying, well, the average person's not paying that close attention to everything. Some are, some aren't. And I say, well, put yourself in the place of a listener. Why don't you be 18 years old again, driving around and listening to your show coming across on a radio speaker? What would you be hearing? What would you be interested in? If I heard a guy screaming and yelling and mad and angry and every second spitting words out of his mouth, I turn it off. Those days are over. The Ronald McDonald of talk radio died in 1995. You know, in the early 90s, when radio was still growing, talk radio, everyone was trying to act like the clown outside a new McDonald's store. Everyone had the horns, the whistles, the big red nose. And they go on the air and they try to make as big a show of themselves as they could. Well, how long can you do? How long can you honk your nose on a radio show and maintain an audience? I don't do that, if you'll notice. My show is much different than it was. It's a product of a number of things, and I don't want to overanalyze it. But I'm changing. The country's changed. The electorate has changed. The medium has changed. The options have changed. So either you adapt or die. So I'm adapting. And my adaptation is bringing me to a different point in how I present my show and what I think about. But it brings us back to the issue of Trump versus Cruz. I'm an 18-year-old kid driving around in a car. I hear Donald Trump or I see him. Do I like him or don't I like him? Why do I like him? Why don't I like him? I see Bernie Sanders. Why do I like him? Why do I hate him? I see an old woman running who I know kind of has been around forever. Don't like her at all. Then I see this guy, Ted Cruz. Don't really know what to think about him. I don't even know who he is. He doesn't cause a reaction in me. Cruz does not provoke an emotional response, by the way. Trump does. Bernie Sanders does. I don't know if you know that. I think this is the essence of this campaign, is the emotional reactions that people are having to certain candidates and not having to others. At least that's my observation. Whether you agree with me or not is up to the 18-year-old in you. Now, I've heard over and over again from people that the reason they support Trump is because he can't be bought and sold. I've heard it over and over again, and I mean from people who have money themselves. He can't be bought and sold. I've heard it from people who don't have money. He can't be bought and sold. They like that. I don't hear that about other candidates. They feel all the others can be bought and sold. So, you know, take it for what it is. This is what I'm hearing. This is how it looks to me. Let's take some calls. WFTW Radio in Florida. Bonnie, go ahead, please. What's your topic?
Yes. My topic is Trump and security. We hear these polls over and over about the unfavorable rating that women have given Trump. I don't believe them, but even more than that, if we had...
If you polled Rachel Maddow and her friends and Megan Mad Dog Kelly and her friends, his poll numbers would have gone down for sure.
But I have known, I know single women, I know married women, I know mothers, I know women without children. What's the number one concern for women? It's in our nature, it's part of our makeup. Security. And when he talks about these Muslims not being vetted, and we see what they're doing in Europe with raping, and we see the woman in the workplace in here in the United States got her head cut off by a Muslim. We see the Kate got shot by an illegal criminal. Trump is the only one who is saying that he wants to stop these, you know, all these young Muslims that have not been vetted coming into our country. They're all under...
100% right. 1,000% right. That's exactly why he appeals to women. And you're right. It is encoded in the women, in the woman's DNA to be protected by a strong man. Despite what the mean-faced, clipped-haired people have to say, women are different than men. And women have a different view of the world than men. And most women see Donald Trump as somewhat of a protector. It's absolutely true what you just said.
Well, and someone in his campaign could get the statistics on the female heads of households in this country, I can't see how any female in this country would not go for Trump because it is...
How about all of the... Let's make it very, very basic and down to earth. How about all the white women who have boys who are... Let's look at the other candidates. Who really connected with the average person out there, men or women, okay? Cruz. I call him Cruz. That's very funny. I merged Trump and Cruz. Trump appeals to women, widely appeals to women. Cruz does not. Think about that one. I know some very smart women who could care less about politics. They like Trump. They want him to win. They don't like Cruz. Why? I don't know. It's like the Nixon effect, the 5 o'clock shadow, this slight oiliness about him. I don't know the answer. And so they feel he's the best standard bearer for what they believe is best for America. Maybe to reverse the insanity that we see prevalent in the country today, whether it be the bathroom situation where men can say they're women and go into a women's room, in a schoolroom. And there's so many things that are wrong with the country right now because we have a deceiver in the White House whose entire game, like the snake he is to divide and conquer. But we don't have to go into that right now. Who's going to fix things is the question. Now, I'm not concerned about the other side of the aisle. I'm not concerned about the Bernie socialists who may have stars in their eyes and not be bad people, but not understand the danger he represents, the true danger he represents. I see their stickers on the roadway. The ones riding around with the Bernie stickers right now are usually the miserable, most miserable, hateful women on the planet. Mean, horrible haters. Haters are the worst type I've ever seen. They're the first to have the Bernie stickers. Or loser old men with broken cars. they have Bernie stickers. Or homeless who've stolen shopping carts, they have Bernie stickers on their shopping carts, if you get the picture. So this is a very dangerous movement, pitting people against each other like this. So you could say, well, is Trump pitting people against each other? Well, you could argue he is, or you could argue, no, he's trying to save America. If he's saying he wants to build a wall with Mexico, tell me what's wrong with that. Is he pitting us against Mexicans? He never attacked Mexicans, did he? He said that many of them are criminals and murderers. A week later, Kate Steinle gets shot by an illegal immigrant in San Francisco, and you hear nothing about it. Not one word coming out of the corrupt political establishment. Not one word from the mimeograph sheet that Willie Brown runs called the San Francisco Chronicle. Not one word about the illegal immigrant who shot Kate Steinle in front of her father and killed her near Fisherman's Wharf, actually near the ferry terminal in San Francisco. And to top it all off, the gun he was using was the gun of a federal marshal. Apparently she left it in her car. How many guns are being stolen from these idiots that are being hired by the federal government? Guns, secure laptops are being stolen. Where are they getting these people from? All of these armed idiots running around, what, they have a college degree? That suddenly justifies them to be an agent of the government? Well, anyway, side point. So, no, I don't think Trump is turning people against each other. It's the exact opposite. I think Trump is bringing people together who want secure borders, want English as the official language of America. They're tired of pressing two for English. They're tired of being spoken to in Spanish when they go to do business, and they want America back. That's what he means. It's that simple. It's really not that complex. They want America back. They're tired of the polyglot America. They really don't enjoy the Tower of Babel that much. They have nothing against people speaking Spanish, but they would really rather they speak English when they're conducting business. Now, why do the globalists want many languages? Well, it's pretty clear why they want many languages. Here in the most corrupt city in America, which makes New Orleans look pristine by comparison, the corrupt San Francisco has had their ballots, their voter ballots, in at least 6 to 9 languages for at least 15 years. Now, why would Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi and Governor Brown and Gavin Newsom, why would they have wanted ballots in 9 languages instead of 1 language? Why would they not have insisted, they're Democrats, they're liberals, but this is America, learn the language. It's pretty clear they wanted the vote of the illegal alien so they could push aside the American himself or herself. They could push the American out of the picture. That's what's going on. People feel this. People who've lived here for 5 generations in California, for example, feel that they're being made strangers in their own state. They're being pushed off their land. And they're hoping to God that someone could come along and finally stop the invasion and start to push back. That's what it's about. That's not dividing people, it's unifying people. Now, the left will say it's dividing people, but they're talking about they're mixing apples with oranges. Sure, if you're an illegal alien who comes to America for free welfare and food stamps, etc., yeah, you're a natural ally of the Democrat-Socialist experiment, because that's who they count upon to keep themselves in office. If, on the other hand, you want to stop this and want to tighten the belt, tighten the budget, cut down on the deficit, you're a Trump supporter, or a Cruz supporter, for that matter, because they would both do the same thing on the issue of, I think on the issue of balancing the budget, although I'm not 100% sure. I know Trump gave a plan on how to do it, and I think Cruz did as well. They'll be fought every step of the way. There'll be a battle to stop this, because everyone loves the free money in the society that Obama has printed. He's printing money around the clock the way they did in the Weimar Republic before the collapse of Germany. And if you want to wind up having to carry a loaf of bread home from a supermarket after paying for it with a shopping cart full of dollars, keep up the welfare state, because that's what's going to happen. I'll be back to talk about Trump's appeal on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287.
For alarm bells in the gay community?
Well, it certainly should. I don't hear another candidate talking about vetting, stopping the Muslims, all of those men, not women and children, but the men, and we know why we aren't seeing women and children, we're only seeing the men, our daughters, our sons, at the workplace, there will be nothing that is, horrible things are going to happen. And he's the only candidate that I hear saying that. But stop it. Stop it. Let's vet them. Stop it.
And I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. And as a personal gift to you for being so articulate and so passionate about what you just said, I'm going to put aside a hardcover copy of Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human, which I've not talked about once today because I've been so caught up with the interview with Donald Trump. But I would invite everyone listening to the show to go to michaelsavage.com and check out a copy of the book, which will be released the week before Mother's Day. It is a delightful book that has zero, well, almost zero politics in it. I think you're going to love these pictures. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. In concluding my program, everything is at stake in Wisconsin. It's the fulcrum, the turning point of this entire primary. Let me explain to you. The Republican establishment, which is identical to the Democrat establishment with a different branding, wants to put this nonentity liberal, Paul Ryan, to run for the presidency because he's a stooge of the establishment. Speaker Paul Ryan is a stooge of the establishment. And there are predictions right now that the stooge, Ryan, will wind up as the party's presidential pick at the Cleveland nominating convention, which would be a disaster for the nation, let alone for this fake party called the Republican Party. So what's happening is this, is that if they can prevent, if Cruz beats Trump in Wisconsin tomorrow, and Trump cannot win the 1,237 delegates needed to claim the Republican nomination, and that would lead to an open convention where they would choose the nominee. They may as well go out into the gutter and pick a bum to be the Republican candidate. Give him a shave, a haircut, and put a suit on him. They do just as well as putting Paul Ryan up there, because Paul Ryan has absolutely no appeal whatsoever to anyone in the United States of America. He is a nobody. But take a guess. It gets even thicker. Take a guess who will preside over negotiations at an open convention, should that occur. Why, it's none other than Paul Ryan's friend and fellow Wisconsinite, Republican National Committee Chairman Rince Priest. And now you know the rest of the story on the Savage Nation. They're trying to damage Trump and put in a nonentity, Paul Ryan, to throw the election to Hillary Clinton. That's how the game is working. Thanks for listening. God bless America.